Hello, everyone. Do we have sun this time? Holy shit, the problems of Father Say are back. How do I know if I have sound? Impossible for me to know. Holy shit, the problems of... We are back. All right, we have sound. Yeah, they have to fix this because there's no way for me to even know if there's the no audio bug. I have to refresh the page. And as I refresh, they show me the show of yesterday. They show me whatever. How the heck can that happen? It should never happen that you're seeing the show from yesterday as a kind of live stream default. Al Pacino, as his 83rd birthday today. My favorite from Al Pacino is The Devil's Advocate.
What are you? I have so many names. See? Call me Dad.
It is so cringe, this movie, but it's one of those movies where quality meets cringe and you can get both experience at the same time. What a bizarre movie, and so different from the other movies you can get. It's really a movie that is very unique. Blanket says, Jeff, what was your favorite part of the movie? I don't even remember. I think I'll watch it tonight because all I remember is watching this movie over and over again when I was young. And yeah, that's it. That's all I remember. I remember it's about the devil, and it's like it's not clear that he's the devil. He's just causing stuff in this lawyer's life, and not clear if it's his dad or if did he fuck his daughter and then made this child. I don't remember. I know it's all fucked up like this, but ultimately, what you retain is. That is the devil, and basically he doesn't, as someone was pointing out in the YouTube comment section, this is the best depiction of the devil in film history. The devil tempts you towards evil but doesn't force you to do it. That's what AI was explaining to Kanye. Al I said AI. Al was explaining to Kanye, chilling. Yes, it is. It is a very heavy in this whole movie that the devil does nothing. Basically, he presents you with opportunities, and you decide because you want to win your case that you're gonna lie a little bit, that you're gonna take a witness who's not truly trustable, and eventually you're gonna pay for it. People are speculating about the two hosts that were fired recently. On one side at CNN, Don Lemon fired. And on the other side, Tucker Carlson at Fox News, of course. I've talked about these news items recently, but I wanted to go through the hypothetical causes that have led to both cases because there's a lot of speculation. There are people who claim that Tucker Carlson has been invited on Russian TV. I don't see why he would go there other than just to laugh his ass off at the ridicule of those attacks. But yeah, it seems that he has been invited to Russian TV. I think it's very unlikely he will go there. But it's fascinating to see how the leftists are trying to construct stuff around it. There's even a female story with Rupert Murdoch, the boss of Fox. And apparently he had dinner with Tucker Carlson and his own wife, who's now his ex, but back then he was with his wife. And it appears that his wife was totally charmed by Tucker Carlson. She was saying, you are the voice of God. You are a messenger from God. You are very important. And they were so fascinated about biblical stuff, him and her, that Rupert Murdoch, the old rich guy, was standing beside his wife while they were both reading the Bible, reading Exodus. Tucker Carlson would have cocked Rupert Murdoch. That is one of the hypotheses that people have been raising. Tillman says, JF, have you watched Scarface? Great movie. Yeah, I've watched it very late. It's one of the movies that I've delayed again and again. I've watched it very late. It's a good movie. Yes, I remember it as being good. I don't remember much of the details. It's a little too old of a movie to be of quality cinematographically. So it's kind of annoying to be to have this audio level issue. But the acting of Al Pacino, I have nothing to say against it. Dr. Denname says, that settles it then. Tucker will start a cult. John Drake says, I'm reading that he's sped until 2029 and can't go to other networks for some time. Well, that would be sad because we would basically have a neutralized Tucker Carlson if that is true. Of course, it's good for him. He's going to be paid without work. But it's not good for civilization because we need the voice of Tucker for America to advance. T.S. Apostolos says, JF, did you grow up pheasant hunting in Canada? Tucker will fish or hunt to clear his mind. Perhaps he's going to do some things of that sort. I don't know. Perhaps he's going to spend time with his great family, because how many people does he has in his family? I think he has 4 or 5. I don't know. I don't know how many children. He has a beautiful wife, beautiful children. So I'm sure there won't be anything lacking in terms of entertainment for him. Blanket says, Jeff, do you remember what they say about vampires? You can only come in when you're invited in. Okay, I don't know much. I don't know much about vampires. I wouldn't know. Purple Tuna says, Jeff, if I make babies with a woman with a trait A, will that trait be inherited by my daughters only or by my sons too? Well, it depends on the trait. There are certain traits that are sex agnostic, if you will. And there are certain traits that are sex dependent. So it really depends on what trait you're talking about. There's pretty much every possible combination. There are traits that are dominant. There are traits that are recessive. And then there are traits that are male and traits that are female. And every possible combination of these two factors is possible. You can have a recessive trait on a feature that is purely masculine. You can have a continuum. You can have... So it depends on how the genes function. It seems that for Don Lemon, this Don Lemon interview with GOP candidate was the last straw. So I think that at CNN, they had decided that they would go for a less hardcore far left take, because they've been painting themselves in a corner and they've been thinking about rebranding themselves toward the center left. So I think that this is what annoyed the bosses of Don Lemon. He went super hardcore black identity against the Indian Republican Vivek Ramaswamy, and he was beside Poppy Arlo, and I think you're going to see a moment where they tell him in his ear, shut the fuck up, Don. But he keeps going. He keeps going, and in fact, he tells them to shut up. Let's see from the beginning here, because that is very instructive on how to lose your job when the channel that you're working for is headed in an editorial direction and you want to be stubborn about it, you want to keep doing your thing. That's what happens.
With due respect, I find your explanation reductive and actually insulting, including to black Americans, to say that black people today, compared to 1964, 1865, haven't made progress in part because of the freedoms we secured. And the Second Amendment was
black
part
people,
of what secured
hang on,
that
please.
Freedom.
I cannot keep a thought if you guys are talking to me in my ear. So
here he's telling his boss are saying, shut up, Don. Don't argue on this. We want you on this morning show to just be feel good. Don't get into a fucking argument of black identity and no, black people aren't doing better than 40 years ago. I mean, you're going to get destroyed first. And second, that's not what we want on our channel anymore.
Hang on one second. So to say that black people, say what you said again.
Black.
So he's so confused. He's been so unsettled. The statement is pretty clear. Black people are doing better now than before because they have achieved and advanced in the obtention of rights of all kinds. It's gonna be very hard for you to make an argument against this, Don.
People secured their freedoms after the Civil War. It is a historical...
And so he goes back to the Civil War. There was slavery. Now there's no more slavery. So better. Less slavery, better. That's his argument. You can be brain dead and make this argument. Oh, talking about brain dead. I just wanted to talk about the show yesterday on this woman who wrote a claim the opposition to the revolutionary phenotype, and I destroyed her arguments yesterday in the whole show. She wrote a second blog post insulting me. I mean, to a level that even in the low level insults of the internet type of stuff, I've never seen someone veer so quick solo. She was unhappy that I was criticizing her lack of reading of my book. And yes, I called her maybe stupid and that kind of stuff in the process, but it's like, I'm not calling you stupid, like I'm targeting your family, and I'm not saying I'm calling you stupid in the sense that your arguments are stupid. So as far as I'm concerned, I can use colorful language that is not targeted at the private life of someone, but that is targeted at the intelligence that you demonstrate through your post. So to me, it's not irrelevant to say someone has made a stupid argument and therefore they're stupid. But she goes full personal attack on me in unrelated stuff. And she goes in 24 hours, like 24 hours ago, she was supposedly debunking my book. And now she's like, Jeff, you're going to be sterile forever. You're never going to get babies anymore. And it's like, you don't even know my life, lady. You don't even know who I am. You don't even know the amount of sex I'm getting. You don't even know the amount of reproduction I'm engaged in. So leaving that on the side, she goes on to say that I'm just a white nationalist who's frustrated not to be a scientist. And she says that my race is done and that soon people like her will be populating our countries. And that even if I've had the chance to already have a few babies, they will soon be breeded out of existence by brown people. This girl veered from, hey, I'm gonna debunk your book, JF. Here, let's have a science argument. And I come back and I'm like, your science argument is bad. And her reply is, we're going to genocide your race. Okay, this is not worth for me to comment anymore against this girl. I am blocking her on Twitter forever. It cannot be a productive conversation in which you are threatening to genocide me and my group. It's like, okay, think what you want, like, you realize that the places where people like you have successfully dominated the breeding race are absolutely undesirable. Like, you can try dominating Canada all you want and outbreeding my babies all you want. It's going to be a pretty terrible place to live in. Because even you don't want to live in a country where your likes have dominated the breeding race. So good luck, lady. Good luck. Good luck with your genocide. Personally, I'm out. Purple Tuna says she's debunking. No, Fadam was saying she's debunking our entire race. She initially wanted to debunk just a book, but her debunking was so powerful. She debunked the whole race. What's her ancestry? She says that she is half British, half Lebanese, Pakistani, or something like this. So some Middle Eastern, somewhere between India and British, somewhere there. Blanket says, JF, isn't she white herself? Well, the mask has fallen, and although her character is white, her cartoon representation of herself is white, it seems that in reality she may be a little more tanned than her cartoon illustration.
Fact, Don, just study it. Only after their Second Amendment rights were secured.
Secured their freedoms after the Civil War. That is not, you are discounting Reconstruction, you're discounting a whole host of things that happened after the Civil War.
So it's not because not all injustices have been repaired and paid for in the way you would want, Don Lemon, that rights have not been fought for and gained before. In other words, what Ramaswamy is saying here, he's saying there was a gain here. There was no slavery, and eventually there was slavery, and then eventually there was no slavery. That's better. And Don Lemon is like, well, there was still other injustices. Well, that's whataboutism. What about the other injustices? Well, those are other things we can talk about, but they were also resolved. And so Don Lemon doesn't have much of a ground here to object to the very basic statement of Ramaswamy.
Well, when it comes to African Americans, including the whole reason that the civil rights movement happened is because black people did not secure their freedoms after the Civil War.
And so, okay, but they did at the civil rights movement, right? Whatever was left in terms of reacquiring more equality or freedom of equality of treatment or freedom, they got it after.
And that things turned around. People tried to change the freedoms that were supposed
and
to
And you know how they got
the
it? They got their Second Amendment rights, and they actually got, the NRA played a big role in that. But
and here, this is professional debate level. Because the discussion didn't need a reference to the Second Amendment. But when you do this in a debate, you are bouncing off something that your opponent cannot possibly digest because he's already in the sewers of, in the swamps of arguing on the first point. We're not even out of, well, did they get liberty or not? Did they fix the systemic injustices or not? We're still in those swamps, and Ramaswamy sends a curveball. It's like, well, yeah, they got their rights. They have the Second Amendment. They can have guns now. Now, that is beautiful, because now you are wrecking Don Lemon, because inside he's now stuck in the cognitive conflict of, oh, shit, he just talked about guns. Now I have the angle of, well, are guns good for black people? Suddenly, you are in a space where this debate could quickly veer toward, well, I don't want them to have guns. I don't want anyone to have guns, if you want to take the anti-gun position. While the first point of the debate hasn't even been resolved. And so he's wrecking Don Lemon's mind here. Don Lemon is stuck having to choose. What will I make my main argument here? Because if we get on the ground of black guns, we get on the ground of black murders, unfortunately. And that I won't look good on it. Blanket says, JF, isn't it weird when mixed people dislike their white half? I never got that. Well, it's because, you can see it perhaps as an evolutionary response of anticipation. Because if you know that you will be rejected in the white population, not rejected necessarily, but at least that you will be treated as black, even if you're half black, because that's the thing, you know, people who are half black don't get considered half black. They get considered black. You're either black or you're white. That's a point that often the far left wants to bring, that they want to bring the whole subject of racial purity and how the concept of whiteness is like peak. You have to be 100% white to be white. I kind of agree with the far left there. Although they think it's bad, I think it's good. But I kind of agree with the conception that as Dieudonné indicated it in a comedic form, in a stand-up performance, if you mix the egg white with the egg yellow, what do you get? You get egg yellow all over. And I kind of agree that the same thing is happening with the white race. You can either be outside of it or inside of it. And losing half of your white genes is enough for me to get outside of it. So continuing, now Don Lemon is in a bad position. He's just had a new point on guns just thrown at his face. He doesn't know what to do.
Today, Don, the
fine... NRA did not play a big role in that.
And so now he wants to counter, but you've not even completed your first point. And now you're like, oh, historically, the NRA didn't contribute to the liberation of black people. Well, if they contributed to us having more access to guns today, that would include black people, right? I mean, if they fought laws that would impede on the Second Amendment rights and were successful to a certain extent, you have to give it here that they have liberated black guns.
Black Americans had to use firearms.
That's a lie. The NRA did not play a big role.
This is just historical fact.
It's not historical fact.
The part that I find...
Just because you say it's historical fact.
The part that I find insulting...
And now very weak Gish Galloping by Don Lemon. It's not because you say it's historical that it's historical. Well, just the reasoning I laid out, Don Lemon. Where would you disagree? Would you disagree that the NRA was ever successful at fighting some pro-amendment, pro-Second Amendment position? You would have to recognize that they must have been successful at least once, somewhere. I mean, I think they've been successful like thousands of times. You're going to have to admit that there were certainly some black people where they got successful. And so effectively, it's a historical fact. Don Lemon is wrong. It's a historical fact that the NRA has contributed to black people having the right to acquire guns. Purple Tuna says, Jeff, what is your prediction for Nick's future success? My feeling is he's past his prime, too radioactive and infamous for anyone of note to ever cooperate with him. Most of his wins seem to have been based on people not Googling him before meeting him, often disavowing him just a few days later. No, I disagree with this analysis. Now, I don't think that Nick will be the president of America. I don't think that Nick will be even involved in actual political action. But I think that Nick will continue having some forms of success through his mimetic campaigns of all kinds. I don't think that this whole depersonation of the system, I don't think it works long term. So you're talking about those people like Just Pearly Things who don't quite Google him and don't quite understand who he is and get... I don't think that that is a problem, because ultimately there is always the temptation of being the most edgy creator. That is the fundamental thing. We're always in a slide toward the edge. And you, no matter how much levels of censorship we have seen develop on this internet between 2016 and 2020, at all times, there has always been a place in the public space for the whole gamut of beliefs. And in fact, there has always been people in the mainstream or in the quasi-mainstream or in the e-celeb edge or fringe willing to interview and extend their own window toward someone like Nick or someone like Alex Jones. So I don't think that censorship works on the internet. Even it works to fuck up your business. It works to destroy the incentives and destroy the actual free relationship between a creator and his audience. But it doesn't work in the sense of making you not exist at all. There's always a bunch of people at the bottom of the internet willing to lift you up. This is the whole thing with 4chan and with those forums of discussions that are edgy. There's always a bunch of people in there who remember, and it's like they're autists. They don't give up. They're going to be as pissed at the system 5 years down the line if the system shuts down someone. So no, I think there's a matter of momentum sometimes, and there will be low parts of the momentum for Nick, and there will be higher ones. He's been on a roll for the last year, although now he's going down a little bit. And but I don't think it's the end of his cycles. I think he still has contributions to bring as a creator, not as a true political player.
Is when you say today Black Americans don't have those rights after we have gone through the civil rights revolution.
Oh yeah, and I forgot to answer Ali Mayer's super chat. He was saying, do you recycle, JF? I do. I recycle extensively. I recycle everything that is possible to recycle, absolutely.
That you are sitting here telling an African-American about the rights and what you find insulting about.
And that's where it becomes an identitarian issue. This is something that the left has accepted, but it's not something that was accepted at all by the right. Even the mainstream right considers it is fine for someone who's not black to talk about black people. It's only the left that says, oh, you don't have the experience as a privileged Indian American, the experience of living in black skin. And so Don Lemon is getting very deep here into a very fringe, far left conception of race.
The way I live, the skin I live in every day.
The skin I live in every day. It's like, bro, Don Lemon. I'm closer to the average black American in many respects than you are. The average black American doesn't live your upscale, high-class type of life. The average black American isn't getting drunk on champagne on CNN every Christmas. You are. I'm arguably... I'm more aware of the everyday life of a poor black American than you are. And yet my skin is white.
This is where you and I have the freedoms that black and white, that black people don't have in this country, and that black people do have.
Well, here's where you and I have a different point of view. I think we should be able to express our views regardless of the color of our skin. We should have this debate without me regarding you as a black man.
It's insulting that you're sitting here.
So it's like, oh, I'm not saying you shouldn't express your views, but I think it's insulting. Well, okay, be insulted, but he won. I mean, he won because all you have is being feeling something. You feel insulted. Well, you haven't debunked whether it was true what he's saying. You haven't shown why historically it would be inaccurate, and we've shown here that it must be accurate that the NRA has liberated American gun rights, including black Americans. So you have nothing other than your insult. You are insulted. You are feeling something. Archie sends $4. Thank you so much. He says, Thomas Sowell of Australia seems to have mellowed and gotten smart while in jail for 8 months. Fuentes can change his outrageous personality in the same way by the time he's 45 years old to lead the secession movement, a president of a new America. Well, you can be that white-pilled as to believe that this scenario could happen. I guess it can, technically. But I don't see a secession being successful in America. although I do agree that it would be desirable, but I don't see it being successful within the lifetime of Nick Fuentes, if you want my advice.
Here, as a fellow citizen, that
you're
that's
sitting
what I think
here,
we should
whatever ethnicity you are explaining to me.
Whatever ethnicity.
I love how Poppy Arlo has been sitting there saying nothing, being kind of pissed, and saying this is not a morning show. This was supposed to be a feel-good centrist show. And Don Lemon is bringing it into a whole race issue.
What is it like to be black?
Whatever
America,
ethnicity
I'm
I am, I'll tell you what I am. I'm an Indian American. I'm proud of it. But I think we should have this debate. Black, white, doesn't matter.
I think we should have this
on
debate.
The content
should,
of
if
the
you're
ideas.
Do it, you should do it in an honest way and in a fair way. And what you're doing is not an honest and fair way. Okay? But we appreciate you.
Not an honest and fair way. There was nothing dishonest. There was no spamming. He let you speak. He's made his point, and you failed at showing that they were false. So you have to accept that the NRA has allowed, maybe it's rights that you don't accept, but the NRA has protected the rights of Black Americans.
Coming on.
With
thank
due respect,
that.
Don, I look forward thank to continuing that conversation.
We'll
thank you.
The conversation.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Papa.
We'll talk about China.
Yes,
let's
talk about China.
Next time you come back.
Oh, thank you. Much to say back on declaring independence from China.
Okay,
something
can
you can
move
add
on now, please.
Thank you.
Look at this. Don Lemon, there is now a conversation between Poppy Arlo and this guy. And Don Lemon, with an eye closed and kind of look like a boxer that just lost a match, he says, he whispers as if he was talking to his editorial team, or I don't know, but he says, can we be done with this? Thank you. So I don't know if he's talking here to the two hosts, well, to the host Poppy Arlo and the guest, or if he's talking to his team in his microphone, but holy shit, Don Lemon is pissed. Let's listen to it again here.
China.
Yes,
tell us
about China.
Next time you come back.
Oh, thank you. Much to say on declaring independence from China.
Okay,
something you
can
add
on.
Can
we move on now, please?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we move on now, please? Thank you. Don Lemon. Valet says he is as sour as a lemon. He is definitely sour. He is like frustrated that he lost the debate while his own team was saying, don't go there. While his own team was yelling in his ear, you're losing, bro, stop it. Miss Joe has published a question for anyone who knows about Italian food. I ordered focaccia and this is what came. I am in the U.S. That might explain it, but this is not what I think of as focaccia. Yeah, certainly in the U.S., basically, they don't have the true bread that forms the focaccia texture. And so they will often give you just bread with flavors that are like what you would expect on a focaccia. That is just what you have to accept when you go into the U.S., Millennial Woes was pointing to that there are people in the UK who want to legislate against misinformation. Anti-vax misinformation is deeply harmful to public health. I'm backing Jim Bethel amendment, which would continue the work we began when we added anti-vax to the online harms bill. No longer can we simply allow this dangerous rubbish to be spouted online. It is the month of excuses and the month of denials. You know, when I said what's about to happen is the left is about to act like their pressure for the vaccine never existed. And that's exactly what we're seeing. There were videos circulating of Justin Trudeau today saying, I never forced anyone to get the vaccine. It's like, bro... You were yelling at anti-vax people during the electoral campaign because you thought it would be advantageous for you. You were yelling at them, in Canada, if you want to take the train, you take the vaccine. You were saying that the anti-vax people were often racist and misogynist. It's like, I haven't forced anyone to take the vaccine. Well, it seems that you have heavily pressured. And he was saying, I only made sure that the proper incentives were in place. Well, the thing is, if you use the force of the state to lay out your proper incentives, you are using force. You know, there are people who are dependent on the state to live. So you're threatening their existence, like a nurse, for example, who is short on money. She really needs to keep working to stay afloat. If you're saying to that nurse, you get the vaccine or I fire you, you are effectively threatening her with death, threatening her with complete abandonment from society. FDA, vaccines don't have to prevent infection or transmission. Vaccines don't have to prevent infection or transmission to be cleared in the United States, the country's top regulatory agency said in a new document. What do they have to prevent at this point? It is important to note that FDA's authorization and licensure standards for vaccines do not require demonstration of the prevention of infection or transmission. So that's it. At this point, they have redefined the vaccine so hard that there is literally no more difference between a vaccine and a medication. At this point, you take vaccines. First, you take vaccines as regularly as medication. So it's like, oh yeah, you need those booster doses constantly. And then the vaccine is not meant to fight the pandemic anymore. The vaccine is merely to protect you from a harmful effect to your body. Well, that's a medication. That's a medication in terms of its use and effect. Commercial lunar lander presumed lost after historic moon landing attempt. So this was a collaboration between Japan and the United Arab Emirates. These motherfuckers have totally failed. You suck, Japan. See, this is the problem. Japan can be brilliant at mass-producing cars, for example. Absolutely brilliant. They have high IQ engineer. They're able to do this. But they're not as good when it goes to the edge of advancement and the edge of discovery, which is always why I've said to people, don't be fooled by the fact that Asian countries score 105 on IQ test, and don't conclude necessarily that this means that Asian countries will end up outcompeting a true creativity white people. Because I don't think they can. I think that there's something when you're at the edge of development and discovery, there is something that's missing in Asian populations that is present in European populations. You need a kind of wild type of thinking. You need to be able to be super confident about things that you've never tried, because something like a moon landing is a single attempt. And I think that's where they fail. That's where America, well, at least the America that existed a couple of decades ago, was able to achieve something like this that they haven't been able today in 2023. So apparently they lost contact with they were in contact with the thing. It was meant to now land on the moon, and they have not been in contact with it since. So they are concluding that there must have been it seems that they don't have much insight. They just, we were close to getting onto the landing step, and then we lost contact. Well, that sounds like your vehicle crashed into the moon and there's no trace left of it. How coupons backfired on Bed Bath & Beyond. For decades, blue and white paper coupons defined Bed Bath & Beyond's brand, popping up everywhere from the movie Old School to notorious mobster Whitey Bulger's junk drawer. Are you serious? I was not aware of this. I don't know about these movies nor about these mobster references. But the iconic 20% off coupons, which became known as Big Blue, ultimately contributed to the corner store retailers fall into bankruptcy. On Wednesday, Bed Bath & Beyond will stop honoring Big Blue coupons for good. Once a hugely popular marketing tool, the coupons backfired as the retailing business changed. They eroded Bed Bath & Beyond profit margins, hurt its brand image, and trained customers to only shop at stores if they had a coupon stashed away. This made it much harder for Bed Bath & Beyond to sell merchandise at full price. I don't know if it's the coupons themselves. I think that Bed Bath & Beyond was an unviable, overpriced model for retail. And that's it. It was a shopping experience that was appealing mostly to higher class women. I'm not going to go to Bed Bath & Beyond because I know I will pay extra. I will pay extra just because it's there, really, because I can go to the next hardware store, and probably get the very same machine at lower price. So that's one first problem. The problem was you have to occupy such a huge surface to even have a Bed Bath & Beyond starting. And most of your surface is actually bed covers that you're never going to sell. Never. Just too pricey. And so it would be crazy for someone to stock their whole house or apartment on Bed Bath & Beyond. That would be totally overpriced. Archie says, in the 80s on World of Ideas, Bill Moyers interviewed Yang Cheng. Yang said that Chinese are too afraid to fail and so will not try before knowing all possible outcomes. Ah, well, that's the problem with the moon landing. It's that something, at some point, you gotta make it happen. You have to make it happen. iSource News, however, you know, this guy, I don't know if he's reliable. He's been constantly pulling out intelligence information, and it's like, so either this guy is the most talented journalist in the world and where he has special sources, or he's just making up stuff. Here he claims that AON offers Tucker $25 million to join news organization. Is it possible? Possible. Would Tucker do this, though? Because Tucker kind of, he has a shine to him that I think would greatly be affected down. It would go down if he was to engage with OAN, which has been filled with not super intelligent commentators and personalities. They have been kind of hovering around the whole election conspiracy. You know, on the one hand, making it look like they care about it to their audience, because their audience were filled with MAGA boomers and Q-tards. And then on the other hand, they couldn't talk about election conspiracy because they were on platforms where it was illegal, like YouTube. And so they were even censoring guests who would bring the subject. So I don't know. I don't know that Tucker would be very good in there. I think it would be a lesser Tucker, and he would be painting himself in a corner that I'm not sure he's going to be interested to do. Fox News, sudden firing of Tucker Carlson may have come down to one simple calculation. It's like, his titles, this is Oliver Darcy, the guy who got called a rat by Alex Jones. It may come down to one simple calculation. And it's like, I start reading, and it's like, well, we have to answer this one fundamental question. But answering it is anything but easy. And he goes on, and it's like, okay, there was not a single thing you had to say here. You have just a list of possible considerations. And of course, those are the considerations we've already discussed. Dominion voting system, the lawsuit, Abby Grossberg, the lawsuit. But I think that there's details emerging that are more interesting than this. I think that the lawsuits themselves are merely side factors here. There's first the fact that Rupert Murdoch had a two-week fiancé the planned summer wedding of 92-year-old media mogul and Anne Lasley Smith is said to have been called off. It would have been his fifth marriage. That is an old story, but it's a story that has happened and has happened around the time where Tucker Carlson had a discussion with Rupert Murdoch. He was invited to a dinner, and Anne Lasley Smith turned out to be just a little too much of a fan of Tucker Carlson and his religious views. Rupert Murdoch, let's read the whole thing. A new theory has emerged. According to the source, Fox Corp chair Rupert Murdoch removed Carlson over remarks Carlson made during a speech at the Heritage Foundation's 50th anniversary gala on Friday night. Carlson laced his speech with religious overtones that even Murdoch found too extreme. The source, who was briefed on Murdoch's decision-making, said, Carlson told the Heritage audience that national politics has become a Manichaean battle between good and evil. Carlson said that people advocating for transgender rights and DEI programs want to destroy America and they could not be persuaded with facts. We should say that and stop engaging in these totally fraudulent debates. I've tried. That doesn't work. The answer, Carlson suggested, was prayer. I have concluded it might be worth taking just 10 minutes of your busy schedule to say a prayer for the future, and I hope you will. That stuff freaks Rupert out. He doesn't like all the spiritual talk. Rupert Murdoch was perhaps unnerved by Carlson's messianism, because it echoed the end times worldview of Murdoch's ex-fiancée Anne Lasley Smith, the source said. In my makeover story, I reported that Murdoch and Smith called off their two-week engagement because Smith had told people Carlson was a messenger from God. So the woman said to Carlson that he was a messenger from God. Murdoch had seen Carlson and Smith discuss religion firsthand. In late March, Carlson had dinner at Murdoch's Bel Air Vineyard with Murdoch and Smith, according to the source. During dinner, the woman pulled out a Bible and started reading passages from the book of Exodus, the source said. Rupert just sat there and stared, the source said. A few days after the dinner, Murdoch and Smith called off the wedding. By taking Carlson off the air, Murdoch was also taking away his ex's favorite show. Wow, wow, wow. That tells us a lot. DK Shadow says, Tucker unintentionally cocked Murdoch. Lol. Yeah, and normally, you know, normally between men, we don't take offense to an accidental cocking. Like, it's not like Tucker actively attempted to charm this woman. It's just that this woman was charmed by Tucker. But Tucker at all times, I'm sure, or else we would have heard about it, I'm sure that Tucker at all times was showing himself to be placid in front of her advances. But yeah, so there's something deeply disconnected from the new world in Rupert Murdoch, I guess, which is why he had basically to had a young wife, well, younger than him. He had to have a young wife, a younger wife, to come in shock with this culture that was rising, that, hey, you know, your boomer crap with Sean Hannity, no one is interested in this. And if this old woman was able to see this, imagine people of my generation. Shrigma Mail says, hey, Jeff, do you think we will see a Tucker Carlson as a candidate for presidency in 2030? I would actually be semi-excited to vote again. I don't think it's going to happen for now, but up to 2030, it's possible. It's totally possible. I think that Tucker Carlson is this kind of guy who keeps himself a clean virgin type of look in terms of not getting too dirty. Like for example, something like going to OAN would be something that would considerably diminish his reach, and it would make him less appealing to become a vice president, for example. But I think it's definitely possible that he take the route of having a couple of years of wait and then putting the machine into action when the momentum is good. And it's possible he could be a president, but I don't know if he wants to be. I don't know, because he has such a good life. I don't think that he has anything to pursue other than his fight against evil. That would be the reason why he's motivated to fix the country. I would be excited, certainly. Teflon Tucker, says Dino Rogovich. Absolutely. Is this the speech that got Tucker Carlson removed from Fox News? We have the speech that I commented on yesterday here. It's a 6-minute speech, and he's basically saying, yes, the left is evil. They're not worth convincing. They're not worth debating. We just have to call it evil and fight it. Tucker Carlson, welcome on Russian TV after seismic sacking from Fox News. Tucker Carlson was dropped by Fox News this week, but reports state he's already received an invitation to be on Russian TV. Former Fox News host Tucker Carlson was offered work by problematic Russian state media networks just hours after being sacked from the conservative U.S. network. The outlets, which align with much of Tucker's controversial rhetoric, are known for being supporters of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And RT tweeted Tucker following his sacking, saying, "Hey, Tucker Carlson, you can always question more with RT.com. Well, that would be hilarious, but I don't think we'll see Tucker. I think he has such a self-preservation instinct for his image of like, I don't want to look bad. I don't want to give away to the left their argument. But it would be kind of a massive troll to see him on Russia Today. Tucker said 2 weeks ago he's excited that whites will soon be a minority in America and everyone memory hold it within a day. Yeah, I've seen this clip. I don't think he said he was excited that whites will soon be a minority in America. I think that is a misunderstanding of exactly what he meant. He did say, however, that once whites become a minority in America, he said something along the lines of, don't come to me and start saying, I represent white people. Because, no, you don't represent me. No one represents me because of the color of my skin. It's a very disappointing comment, because I don't think he thought it through. I think it's just this. Now, I'm not for, you know, starting to hate Tucker because he said this, because I think that Tucker is not having a moral failure here of hating white people. I think he's trained on a bunch of mainstream reflexes, which lead him to be blind to a true pursuit of, ask yourself, Tucker. Ask yourself. Because it's very easy in a position of safety for white people, of relative safety, I would argue. It's very easy from this position of today, say, I think the way I think, I'm a free thinker. No one represents me based on my race. And I don't want this to ever be the case. Now, that's a naive, idealistic extension that doesn't address the actual reality of the world as it will unfold. Because let's be honest, we all know that when whites are 5% of North America, you're going to be hunted down, basically. You're going to be hunted down like deers, okay? Like the rate of murder that's currently in Chicago would be the average rate of murder in America, at least. At least, if guns don't get better or something, in which case it would be higher even. So in that world, in that, yeah, like South Africa at the moment. In South Africa, I'm pretty sure that Tucker Carlson, born there and living the situation, would end up saying, oh yeah, please represent white people. Yeah. It's like, we need some kind of representation here because we're getting hunted down, we're getting raped, our farms are getting taken either by the government or destroyed by hostile forces against us. We need someone to represent white interests and protect us. That's the difference between confidently thinking as you have the leisure to think about your liberty and your personal individualism. But when it's a war and it's one group against another group, you have to have representation for your side. And I hope that one day Tucker, instead of doing the knee-jerk reflex of, oh no, white identity, I don't like it. You don't like it because it's not fashionable now. But can you take your own brain through this process, Tucker? And you know what, Tucker? I'm inviting you on my show. I'm inviting you on JFG tonight. I know the chances are small, but let's be clear. Tucker will have to face the public, you know, expose himself and start interacting with various questions that he wouldn't have had the chance to interact on Fox News. So wherever he is, I think he's not operating his Twitter account right now. I think he never did. But whenever I get a chance to find an account of him, if he starts a Twitter account, or if something like this happens, I think I will send him this clip to, you know, Tucker, I'd like to talk to you to take you through as the reality of America and a white minority unfolds. I'd like to challenge that you don't really think what you said in that clip. I'm sure a proper rational thinking around what truly would happen will guide you toward a totally different conclusion. And that I think is my most interesting theory for tonight and will be headed toward the conclusion. Couple of news items left. Tucker Carlson, blindsided Fox News host, was negotiating a new contract when Murdoch fired him. I think that Murdoch just saw too much leverage. I think that Murdoch realized that Tucker would be draining a lot of money, would be costing a lot. And I think that perhaps Rupert Murdoch doesn't have a full understanding of the ideological positioning of Tucker, where his art on Fox News was basically saving this network for a whole generation. It's like, I'm sure Fox News can continue as a business without Tucker Carlson, but it's a considerably more boomerish business. It doesn't matter if you take a 17-year-old. You could take a 17-year-old host, and it wouldn't make you as popular as Tucker would in the new generation. And that's because it's not the age that matters. It's that the new generation has been exposed to IDs that are much different from the ones that can operate in a Sean Hannity brain. And they don't care about boomer crap. They really care about what Tucker has to say about the culture war. And probably Rupert Murdoch doesn't have a full understanding of this. Rupert Murdoch probably sees, well, everyone is replaceable. And he's right to a certain extent. But you've lost a huge chunk right there, Rupert. You've lost a huge chunk, and I don't... And with the context of the intimidation that exists in current culture wars, it's going to be very hard for you to find anything equivalent to Tucker, because a young rising star of right-wing commentary would have to make a lot of sacrifice to fully take the seat of Twitter, of Tucker. To fully replace him, he would have to start saying IDs that would eventually trigger the left to the same extent that Tucker does, and that will dog whistle in an equivalent manner that Tucker does to us on the right. I don't think you're going to have much takers for this job. So inevitably, Tucker will be replaced by lower quality, more bland, less interesting thinking. And that is the problem of Rupert Murdoch. He's going to have to deal with it from a business standpoint. John Drake says, especially if Tucker can't take a new job in 2024 because of his contract at Fox. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's his contractual situation. Kevin Bacon, a giant of acting, is wearing a shirt that says, drag is an art and drag is a right.
Drag is an art and drag is a right. Drag is a centuries-old art form of creativity, expression, and self-exploration. It's an opportunity to educate through entertainment, and it's not dangerous. At Six Degrees, we believe in amplifying the voices of those that are experiencing injustice. So join us in supporting the ACLU Drag Defense Fund by shopping our bonfire campaign. Drag is an art.
You can make all the art you want. And yes, DK Shadow, no one said otherwise. Okay, it's an art. Yeah. It's a right. I mean, technically, you can do drag and the government is not going to come and arrest you. But you don't have the right to impose it on other people's children. And any art that you have the right to do, you certainly don't have the right to force people to watch it. So do your art, and see how many people are attracted by this. But stop acting like you're leading a civil rights fight. There's literally not a place in America that's going after you in terms of stopping you from doing your art. We are merely stopping you the same way we're stopping strippers from doing their art in front of children who are unable to consent to sexual displays. How's that? How's that for a deal? Dino Legovich says, Jeff, please review the movie Dirty Rotten Scoundrel. No. I've been misled toward bad movies before. And at this point in my life, being an old man, I'm now 39. I'm not begging for super chats anymore. I'm comfortable. I can live the rest of my life. Listen, guys, this is a movie from, let's see here. What's the year? 1988. Are you fucking kidding me? With Steve Martin. I refuse to listen to this movie. It looks like crap. It's probably crap. There's nothing interesting to say about it. Nothing interesting in cinema has ever been done before Terminator 2. Silver Spider says, Dino Rogovich says, good luck. Dino Rogovich, good luck. I'm still waiting for JF to reveal Sonic the Hedgehog 2. I think I started watching it, but did I watch the whole one? I watched the whole number one, and let me tell you, it sucks. It sucks as a movie. It's ridiculous to see, who is it? Jim Carrey? Is it Jim Carrey, the evil guy? What a ridiculous movie. Shrig Mamel sends a super chat. He says, my friend rejected the friend zone with the girl who invited him to her graduation, and she cried. I believe he made the best decision to go to the bar instead. Why do women get so upset when you reject the friend zone? They're unbelievable, but that's their way of manipulating. They want to set a situation where you have no leverage, and if you're friend zoned, you have no leverage. it's like she can act like she can charm other guys right in front of you, and you have nothing to say. You're her. You're just a friend. And so that's the female is trying to create a situation where you have zero leverage. You're just an accessory, a little dog that she can carry around. And man, I've been always super clear about friend zoning. I mean, to the point where women just were thinking I'm crazy. Like there was a woman I had met, and she had chosen not to be my girlfriend. I'm trying to remember the circumstance. And then she wrote to me an email. She wrote to me an email saying, "Hey, look, Jeff, I've chosen not to be your girlfriend, but I think there's still a chance that we could be good friends." And so she starts laying out a whole project of friendship. And my answer to her was something along the lines of, "Okay, so you want me to deliver basically to you all of the goodness of partnership with me, but you don't want to pay back in the form of sexual availability for the purpose of reproduction. You really want all of the social advantages of being treated as someone special by a man, of being cared for, entertained, and sexually stimulated even to a certain point, in that, you know, you want me to be there and make my jokes that I would make if you were my girlfriend, and make my general politeness displays that I would make if you were my girlfriend. So you want me to invest the whole energy set of having to dress, accompanying you physically, entertaining you, caring for you, and all of it without you paying back the only thing that's of interest to a man, the building of a family, and without lending your pussy for the creation of this family. My answer to you, lady, is no." And I'm sure that one day, I mean, I remember answering this by email. One day, you know, if I get very, very, if I get a big, big celebrity of the internet, maybe this email will come out. Because if I was to try, for example, to become a president of the United States, I'm sure that this woman could, because I remember her response. She was really pissed at my email. She started saying, "Oh, well, that's always what they say. Oh, well, now that I see what kind of man you are, I certainly wouldn't have wanted to be your friend. I'm happy I dodged this bullet." Always like this. They always revert. It's like, "Oh, well, you were the one soliciting me like 2 hours ago. Now you got my email response saying no, and suddenly you dodge a bullet. Suddenly you discovered that I'm some kind of psycho and you wouldn't want to be friends with me." Well, that says more about you than it does about me, right? It says you are so frivolous in your decision-making capabilities that you wanted a friendship with a man that clearly had no interest at engaging in that friendship, and you had not understood your lack of leverage on him. And not only this, but just based on his refusal of this friendship, you are pissed at him suddenly, and suddenly he's a horrible being. That's just woman, you know, they vary between states. Sordello says, "Jeff, have you ever read Otto Weninger's Sex and Character, an extraordinary book mainly about women from early 20th century?" Yeah, DK Shadow, she does make me think about the Nadia lady who commented on the revolutionary phenotype. Otto Weninger's, I've never heard about this book. Sex and Character, an investigation of fundamental... An investigation of fundamental principles. Otto Weninger's controversial book, first published in Vienna in 1903, is a prime example of the conflicting discourses central to its time. Anti-Semitism, scientific racism, and biologism, misogyny, the cult and crisis of masculinity, psychological introspection versus empiricism, German idealism, the women's movement, and the idea of human emancipation. Well, it sounds very interesting. Sounds very interesting. I'll certainly keep a note on this book, and I'll go check it out because it sounds like there's a series of subjects in there that are quite fascinating. Canadian government report unveils anti-capitalist agenda. Health Canada demands collectivism and an end to capitalism to fight climate change. There are three core values in Western society, and for that matter, in global society, that have to change. One core value is about growth and materialism. The second core value is liberty and individualism, which has to be rethought because the kind of individualism that is preached by neoliberals is part of the problem. It advances the individual over the collective. So you have these people who are supposed to be interested at the health aspects of the climate change, you know, Health Canada. Okay, in charge of understanding the impact of climate and various policies on health. But they're basically theorizing Marxism in their report. And you get to understand that this is what it's about. It's what it's always been about. The environmental fight and everything has always been designed to attack the foundational aspects of capitalist society. They are really after rights of property and rights of the individual. Never let them win. Binance US terminates $1 billion deal to acquire bankrupt Voyager Digital's asset. You know, Binance has been constantly making these moves where they say, oh, maybe we're interested. Oh, no, we're not interested. I don't know why they do this. I wouldn't get through the trouble if I were them. Probably they think, oh, maybe we can get some kind of rebate on certain resources. But when you think about it, these deals are going to be very hard to honor because imagine Binance buys a couple of keys of digital assets. And imagine someone has already kept a trace of these keys and just at the right moment, they transfer the money out of the wallet. Maybe there's a workaround, which is not to accept crypto keys as your purchase, but accept just delivered bitcoins to my address. Perhaps that would be the way they could acquire the crypto. But in any case, they probably don't get much of a deal down in the price. And they probably, they're just getting involved in these dirty stories of the errors of other companies. If I were them, I would just let everyone crash and not get into it. This is from April 23. So it's 2 days ago. Stephen Robinson shared this. It is freaking hilarious. It is a promotional campaign for CBDCs.
Are you or a loved one suffering after buying Bitcoin? Are you fed up with the huge returns on investment? Fed up with all the financial sovereignty and freedom? Perhaps you're annoyed with Bitcoin's level playing field and predictability? Or maybe you're just disheartened with its strictly limited supply and constant growth of your purchasing power. Whatever it might be, don't worry. Central bankers have got a plan for you. Introducing Central Bank Digital Currencies, or CBDCs. It's just like Bitcoin, but without all the freedom, revolution, and financial gain. The idea is simple. Why have control over your own money and life using Bitcoin when you can let an entrenched communist central bank oligarchy control it for you? So what inspired us to create CBDCs? The short answer is, you did. When we looked at all the amazing benefits that Bitcoin brought to people all over the world, like financial sovereignty, freedom, sound money, free markets, and free speech, we thought, wow, the debt slaves are getting a bit too close to stepping off that fiat plantation. We better do something about this. Whilst Bitcoin had a good run, it's time for fresh ideas. And who better to deliver them than the people that hyperinflated and destroyed the current monetary system and global economy? It's time for the adults to take over. And the best thing about CBDCs is they are run by licensed, accredited, and regulated central banks. And central banking is a pillar of communism, and nothing bad ever happens when communists run things. The best thing about CBDCs is they take all the worst attributes of the current monetary system and amplify them. Here are some of the features you can look forward to when using central bank digital currencies. Restrictions on how and where you spend your money. High inflation and loss of purchasing power. Arbitrary and unpredictable monetary policy. Highly censorable. Restrictions on the time in which you can spend your money. Counterparty risk. Negative interest rate policy. Politically weaponizable currencies, attached social credit score system, constant surveillance and sharing of your spending habits with third parties. But if that's not enough reason to persuade you, every account opened gets a free travel clock signed by Christine Lagarde. With features this good, I know what you're thinking. Take my money. And believe me, we will. You see, the problem with Bitcoin is that it's just too predictable and boring. Why use a system like Bitcoin where you can predict the issuance and inflation rate of its monetary algorithm hundreds of years in advance, when instead you can just be kept in a constant state of uncertainty on a weekly basis by arbitrary decision-making by a handful of people at the central banks? Another problem with Bitcoin is that it makes things too simple and easy. What's the point in having one neutral platform that's apolitical and provides a completely level playing field on a global scale that can't be gamed by any single nation when you can have many CBDCs with interoperability issues ran by psychopaths in a constant power struggle with...
I love what they did with this montage. Adair says the stock music is perfect. Yeah, it is. The stock music is so overused and so characteristic. It creates a joke of its own in the whole montage. What a genius video right there. Thank you, Stephen Robinson, for sharing it. And finally, as a last news item, Microsoft shares jump after top and bottom line beat, but cloud growth slowed. Revenue was $52.9 billion, an increased 7%. Diluted earnings per share was $2.45, an increased 10%. The world's most advanced AI models are coming together with the world's most universal user interface, natural language, to create a new era of computing. Well, I'm always surprised by how much these companies are making money. Productivity and business processes, $17 billion. Intelligent cloud revenue, $22 billion. More personal computing revenue, $13 billion. And Microsoft cloud revenue, $28 billion. Well, they are making a lot of money. Can you get a link to that CBDC video? There it is in the chat. And that is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.